You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. All right. I forgot to mention, if you're new here, take and fill one of these out, or if you've never filled one of these out, fill it out, drop it in the connections box. It's the black box on the way out the door. And then don't forget, in the middle of winter, you know, you can get some dark days. I know a lot of people struggle with depression, stuff like that. Take one of these cards and invite them to a place where they can come and see the light. You know, we should always just be inviting people to church, because you're never going to know who will show up. And so take these cards, be my guest cards, invite people out to church. And so open your Bibles. Where are we at? Ecclesiastes. Yes, sir. Ecclesiastes. And we're in chapter 2 today. Chapter 2. So, chapter 2. And the title today is The Pleasure That Pacifies But Won't Satisfy. The pleasure that pacifies but won't satisfy. You ever, you know, try to stop doing something? Maybe it's drinking or smoking or something like that, and your flesh is like, man, if I just had one more puff, if I just had one more drink, man, it would, my flesh would be all better, all better. You ever, anybody in here ever experienced that other than me? With something in this world, if I just had one more thing, and really all it does is it pacifies the flesh. It does not satisfy the flesh. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. In chapter 2, we see Solomon continuing his search for pleasure apart from God. Solomon made his life all about him and his desires and his pleasures and his pursuits in life. Solomon had a well-known disease called iitis. Anybody ever heard of that? Iitis? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But in the next 11 verses, you will hear him say, I, me, and my over 30 times. Look at what I built. Look at what I have. Look at my possessions. Look at what I've gotten. Look at all this stuff. Me, 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 my, I. Solomon had that well-known disease, iitis. Solomon lived a very selfish life in pursuit of true satisfaction. When we hear someone say, or when you hear someone say to you or another person, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. What they are really telling you is to forget about everyone else and just do what feels good to you and makes you happy. But these are not the words of Christ. These are the words of the world. Because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And love others as yourself. And here Solomon goes on a very selfish pursuit to satisfy and to seek satisfaction and fulfillment in this world for himself, for his flesh. And so let's all stand together for the reading. And so there it is. So read along with me if you want. The screen went bad. It said, Ecclesiastes 2:1, it says, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I do pray that you would speak to us today. I pray that you would transform our minds and our hearts. I pray that as only your Holy Spirit can do, that it would convict us and challenge us and encourage us all in the same stroke, Lord. I pray that you would teach us and guide us. I pray that we would receive wisdom today from your word, not from this world. And I do pray that we would learn today. I pray that we would be transformed today, so that when we leave here today, we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word, learning from another man's experience, Lord God, in this life. Father, I ask and pray that you bless now your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The pleasure that pacifies but won't satisfy. Number one, write it down, his journey to seek his heart's desire. His journey to seek his heart's desire. Look at verse number one. It says, I said in my what? My heart, Solomon said. He said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. I will test you. I will see what is good. I will prove. It says, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, also this is vanity. Before he even goes through it, he ends that very same verse right there. Before you jump ahead and try the same thing as me, it ends in emptiness. It ends in nothingness. And verse 2 says, I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doth it, or what doeth it? And so Solomon set out on a mission to seek his heart's desire, and to test all things in this life to see what truly brings satisfaction and contentment. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Solomon was going about to test this world, but he put too much trust and too much confidence in himself that he would not go astray. See, Solomon did not set his face to seek the Lord. He set his face to follow after his heart, and his heart misled him. He looked at his possessions. He looked at his position of power and said to himself, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry. He stepped back and said, hey, I'm going to take it easy. I'm just going to satisfy myself. I got enough. I don't really need the Lord. I don't really need anybody. I kind of have everything that I need. It's funny that when Jesus tells us to pray, how many of you guys got food in your refrigerator today? Raise your hand. It's funny that when Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, it goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. You know, he doesn't say that if you have food in your refrigerator that you don't need to pray, Lord, give me this day my day. Do you ever find that interesting? Because sometimes I think we rest far too much on what we have in the bank account, or what we have in the refrigerator, or what we have in the gas tank, or what we have in the closet, or what we have in our house. We put too much confidence realizing that in a moment. Anybody ever been in a house fire before? Man, everything gone in a split second. And sometimes we take the simplest things for granted. Here, he's chasing the desires of his heart. He's fulfilling his heart's desires. Solomon had written early in his life what the key was to a good life, but he strayed from seeking the Lord and trusting him, seeking his own heart instead of let me just reread this right here, because I'm getting already tongue-tied. Solomon had written early on in his life that what the key was to a good life, but he strayed from seeking the Lord and trusting him to seeking his own heart and trusting it. Solomon writes to us in Proverbs, he's telling his son, he said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He doesn't say, hey, trust your heart and follow its desires. No, he got it right before when he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your heart. He never says anywhere in Scripture, follow your heart. Trust your heart. And here he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Make your heart's focus and your heart's trust in him and in his word. And then the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. This is the perceived heart, that fleshly heart. Hey, what you think is good apart from what God says is good. Apart from what Scripture says is good, right? He goes on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He doesn't say acknowledge your heart and seek its way. He says acknowledge him and seek his way. This is what he knew, what he wrote in Proverbs before. And it says, and he shall direct thy path. See, Solomon was directing his own path in life at this point. He was setting out his own journey. The ways of the Lord bring peace. They bring life. They bring blessings. But Solomon's path that he sought, the path of his own heart, led him to a place of much vexation and much vanity, much grief and much sorrow. So we see Solomon set out for the journey seeking his heart's desire. But number two, the thing his heart desired, or the things his heart, the things his heart led him to pursue. The things his heart led him to pursue. The things his heart led him to pursue. You will notice of all the things, and I think it's interesting when you really begin to look at what he pursued, you will notice of all the things his heart led him to pursue, God was not one of them. Of all the things that his heart, his heart apart from the word, his heart apart from the Lord, caused him to seek after, to pursue, God was not one of them. In fact, his heart led him very far from God, to the point that God came back to him. We know the story at the end of his life and said, man, you once sought me with your whole heart. You once sought my commandments. You once sought my word, but now you followed your heart, and now you've been led astray by your heart. Your heart won't lead you to God, but his word and his spirit will. His word and his spirit will. Romans 3:11 says, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. Do you understand that apart from God, for the person that says that they can find God apart from God, they're misunderstanding that their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They misunderstand John chapter 3, verse 18, when it says, the heart, the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. See, there is none that seeketh God, but God sought man. God sends the Holy Spirit to convict us. God sends his word to challenge us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does a man be saved? He hears the word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts his heart. And when the two come together on the fertile ground of a soft heart, conception of salvation is birthed. That's how John, Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus in John chapter 3, how can a man be born again? Shall he enter the second time into his mother's womb? No, it's the word of God, and it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that birthed salvation in man. Man does not seek God apart from God seeking him and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. See, the thing his heart led him, the things his heart led him to pursue, it took him from God. Notice the first thing that his heart led him to pursue, he pursued pleasure. He pursued pleasure. Look at verse number one. It says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, and therefore enjoy pleasure, right? He started out with seeking pleasure. You know what's really interesting right here? Look at verse number three. I sought my heart to give myself unto, what's that next word? Wine. He's like, hey, maybe this will bring joy and contentment and pleasure. Really what it's saying in a nutshell is he's seeking the pleasure and the satisfaction of his flesh. He's saying, hey, I gave in to the wine here. I gave in to the alcohol. I gave in to whatever you want to call it. He says, I sought in mine heart. And notice the phrase, give myself. You know, Scripture never tells us to do that. On the contrary, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, Solomon had the same writings that we had when we look at that first account of where alcohol really leads us, that first mention in Scripture in Genesis chapter, I believe it's number 11, 9 or 11, where, you know, the very first mention of alcohol in Scripture got Noah so drunk out of his mind that somebody came in and was able to sexually pervert or do some sexually perverse thing. Do you realize that the second time, and Solomon had the same thing that me and you had here today, The second time that alcohol is mentioned in the Bible is when Lot got so drunk out of his mind that his two daughters committed incest with him, and he had no idea. Solomon had the same thing, and Solomon came back around after all of this, and I think it's interesting. He said, I sought to give myself. He gave himself wholly to see what was at the end of the bottle. Was it joy? Was it peace? Was it relaxation? Was it pleasure? For Solomon, it absolutely was not. He would say, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, foolishness, until I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Solomon soon found out that seeking the pleasure of the flesh through giving into its lust was very short-lived. In Hebrews 11:25, it says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Solomon would jump up and be the first to say, you know what? There is some pleasure in the bottle, but it was lived out very shortly. And throughout, when you look at Solomon's writing, Solomon hit the bottle to find out if this will bring joy and pleasure into his life, only to find out that wine is a mocker and that strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I wonder what he means when he says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I wonder if he's saying, hey, man, you could just have a little bit. Man, I'm just going to kick back. I'm going to chillax a little bit. I'm going to try to, I know when enough is enough. The Bible clearly warns us of that. Clearly when he says, man, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, let no man think he stands, lest he fall. Solomon put and gave himself to, turned over control and the keys to Solomon, his own heart. He gave into his own heart. You know what else Solomon would write? I think this is part of the reason why the man had so many wives. In Proverbs 23:33, it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. And thy heart shall utter perverse things. We look at things and we look at people differently. We would say things that our heart would never say. I wonder if Solomon woke up one day with wife number 347 because he got so drunk one night, he didn't know what was happening, and he was like, who's this? My eyes shall behold strange women. This is him. This is his writing. Solomon came to the conclusion that the bottle deceived him. And at the end of it, it was not good for him. The lust of the flesh, if you give into it, will always deceive you. To one, it may be seeking drink for pleasure. To another, it's the thrill of gambling your paycheck away. For another, it's an adulterous sexual relationship or porn. For the next, it might be street drugs or prescription drugs. Well, the doctor gives them to me. Or the love of money. Right here, Solomon, for him, it was, I'm going to try the drink, but for the next person, it's not all the same, but it is him seeking the lust of the flesh. Now, this is what he's talking about when he sought pleasure. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Solomon was drawn away with that bottle with the perception that maybe there could be joy and satisfaction filled in his life by the bottom of it. But man, he soon found out. He said, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, foolishness. Foolishness is what he found. Foolishness. We see his heart, and his heart, it pursued him to pleasure. Then we see the next place that his heart pursued him to follow after. And we see he pursued projects. First, he pursued pleasure, the bottle, the fleshly things of this world. But then we see he pursued projects. I think this is interesting, in his coming to the conclusion that all is vanity and vexation of spirit, he pursues project. Look at verse number 4. I made me. Here it is. We're starting to get into the I-itis part, right? I made me, okay? You ever hear somebody, man, what I have is my own? God didn't give it to me. And they might not even use the word God hasn't given it to me, but man, look at what I've done. Look at what I've built. Look at my bank account. Look at what I've accomplished. And so this is kind of what we're saying. It says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. Solomon sought joy and fulfillment in his great accomplishments. He set forth after going from the bottle. He's like, well, that didn't lead me to joy and satisfaction. Maybe accomplishing great things for myself will. And so he set forth to build a great name for himself through his personal building projects. You know, it's an interesting fact that Solomon, anybody know how many years Solomon spent building his the temple? Solomon spent 7 years building the temple of God. Does anybody know how many years Solomon spent building his first house? Almost double that. Almost double that. And that was just the first one. Here, his heart led him to pursue pleasure. His heart led him to pursue projects, and then we see his heart pursued, he pursued possessions. He pursued possessions. Look at verse number 7. Iitis continues. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of the kings of the province. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments of all sorts. I mean, he tried pleasure. He tried projects. Now he's trying possessions. Maybe I could just fill my bank account up to the fullest. You know, what more could he possibly have? What now? What, you know, in verse 9 it says, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. What now? What now? You ever meet a goal or you chase that dream or you get that house or you get that bank account, you get that, raise, you get those things and you get it and you're like, huh, it didn't scratch that itch. You know, you chase that high and it just didn't get me there. Here, Solomon has everything. And when I say everything, he's like Elon Musk rich, okay? Like light years, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Elon, first man closest to be a trillionaire. It's like at that point, when is enough enough? Solomon, when is enough enough? When is enough gold, enough gold? When is enough possessions, enough possessions? When is enough pleasure, enough pleasure? When is enough, enough, Solomon? It's never enough. See, that's what he discovered. There's never enough. When we follow our hearts, it's an exhausting, endless pursuit. When we follow our heart, it's an exhausting, endless pursuit of something you won't find because your flesh, man, it's not satisfied. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full. You've heard me quote this before. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of man are never satisfied. When we're not looking at God and we're looking at this world, that next thing's not going to make you satisfied. This is why the Lord tells us in the gospel to be content with such things as ye have, because he knows a little more of this world will not bring you to a place of contentment, but he alone can. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with it, with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. We see he pursued pleasure, he pursued projects, he pursued possessions. Man, what is possibly left other than this very next verse, which basically is him, this is him all in, like with no restraint, he pursues his passions. He pursues passion. Look at verse number 10. Whatsoever mine eyes desired. It went from, man, I'm chasing pleasure, now I'm projects, possessions, to now whatever I want, whenever I want, because there was no checks and balances. It was a free-for-all. He says, whatever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. When he saw anything that he wanted, he took it. But Proverbs says, so the eyes are never satisfied. But whatever he saw, he took it thinking, oh, wait, it's going to make me happy. This will bring me satisfaction. He says, and whatsoever mine eyes desired. Imagine the power and the possessions that this man had to be able to make such a statement. I can have whatever I want, whenever I want it, and I kept not myself from it. Hey, I saw a beautiful girl. Hey, you're coming home with me. Hey, I saw something I liked. I don't care if it's somebody else's or not. I'm going to take it. This is where he was at. This is where his heart, following your heart, led Solomon. Whatever my desire, I took it. And whatever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. And I withheld not my heart from any joy. Well, pastor, it says joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. It's interesting because Solomon was able to have anything he wanted in the world, and he did, and nothing could stop him from having his desires, his passion, you know, his passions of his heart fulfilled. But oh, how short-lived his pleasure and rejoicing was. Because what's the very next verse say? It talks about vanity. All is vanity. John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, he says, love not the what? The world. Neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We see his journey to seek his heart's desire. The things, number two, the things his heart led him to pursue. But then we see number three, the emptiness he was left with in his heart. The emptiness he was left with in his heart. For Solomon, I believe that's why we have Ecclesiastes. God's using him to redeem the wasted time that hopefully somebody else can be spared from going through what he went through. Walking down the path that he walked down. Number three, the emptiness he was left with in his heart. Notice first his reflection, his reflection. Look at verse number 11. Then I looked. Hey, sin is pleasurable for a season. Hey, that immoral relationship, that view at the pornography, the taste of the drink, the doing of the drugs, whatever it is, there is pleasure for a season. But eventually, you're going to come to reality, you're going to wake up, and you're going to be able to see. I love what verse 11 says. It says, then I looked. You know what that means? He's stopping and reflecting back on his life, where his pleasure, hey, where did that bottle lead me? You know, where did the lust of my flesh lead me, those immoral relationships? Where did the desires, where did they lead me to? Where did all those building projects lead me to? Where did that bank account full of money lead me to? He reflect on it. He says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labors that I had labored to do. And behold, here it is, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He literally looked back at it all in the older age of his life, and he's like, yeah, I got millions and maybe billions of dollars in the bank account, but I'm knocking at death's door. What good is it? I built all these things, and I have accomplished all these things. I've tasted all these things, and here in his own words, he says, vanity and vexation of spirit. I never found what I was looking for. He looked back on his pleasure, his great projects, his possessions, his passions, only to realize he got everything that he physically wanted, but he was still empty on the inside. And this is what led him to the next thing, that emptiness he was left with on the inside of his heart. Here we see his reflection, but then we see his depression. Look at verse number 17. Therefore I, say the next two words with me. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. When you chase the things in this world, maybe it's a feeling or high prominence or possessions, when you get it and you realize it doesn't satisfy that void after all the labor and after all the work, it leaves you depressed and hating life. Because you look back and you say, man, I got a bank account full of money, but that doesn't... Why do you think movie stars and rich people always, come to the place where they just hate life? They wind up taking their own life because they're looking in the wrong place for satisfaction and for fulfillment. And when they get all that they're chasing after, man, they're left in this depressed state where they literally hate life. That's where the world left Solomon. I'm convinced a great majority of this world that struggles with depression does so because they are seeking satisfaction and joy in the wrong places, and therefore leaving them feeling empty and hating life and depressed. I've never met someone that, man, is seeking the Lord, man, and just, man, hard at Him, they may go through and wrestle with times of sadness and times of depression. I'm not talking about, the wrestling that we all go through, but, man, I've never met someone that just hates life when they have the Lord. Paul said, hey, he could have hated life, but you know what he said? Man, for me to die, man, that's gain for, because I'm going to be with the Lord. He said, I found whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That didn't sound like a man, even though he was locked up, even though he was beaten, even though he was in prison. That didn't sound like a man who walked around hating life, depressed all the time. Because he found out that joy and happiness didn't come what was in his bank account. It was found in Christ. We see the emptiness he was left with in his heart. We see his reflection. Then we see his depression. But then we see he comes to a place of even worse than depression, of despair. Despair. Look at verse number 20. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. See, that word despair means hopelessness. Solomon was desperate for hope, but he couldn't find any hope in the things of this world. He got to a place of despair and hopelessness. Hopelessness is a dangerous place to be. This is a place where many people take their own lives and commit suicide because they've realized at the end of their pursuit of for fulfillment in this life has led them, and they're despairing, they're depressed, and they're hopeless. Solomon realized that chasing the world left him depressed and left him hopeless. Some, they may chase the drugs and look back that they left their kids. to another. They chase the career and the money only to lose their family. The father who had a beautiful wife and children and kids trades it all for an adulterous sexual affair. And they look back at life and reflect on the carnage left behind by them chasing their own heart. And then depression sets in and then despair because they got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. This is where Solomon's at. Man, that's a pretty positive message, isn't it? Hey, guys, go out there and chase the world. Follow your hearts. Man, taste and see all that the world has to give you. That's not what Scripture says. The Bible says taste and see that the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. Let's reflect on this real quick. What can we gather from this message? What are you pursuing? You have to acknowledge this. This is something that I'll probably ask over and over again, but what are you pursuing in this life? Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to help you to be real with yourself and not put your own blinders up, because our hearts are deceitful. That's why David said, "Search my heart, O God." David was a man after God's own heart, but he still prayed that. And he said, "See if there be any wicked way in me, any deceitful way in me, and any way that would cause me to go astray from your way." What are you pursuing? You can't serve two masters in this life. You can't. You can't serve God and your own pleasures. You can't serve God and your career. You can't serve God and money, because one will take the precedence whether you like it or not. That's what Scripture says. It's either your career first or God first. It's either your bank account first or God first. It's either your flesh first or your self-satisfaction first or God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek ye first the kingdom of Billy. It's what are you seeking? What are you pursuing? Because you can only have one focus. Lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Am I too busy seeking my bank account that I can't even give to the Lord what's rightfully His? I don't tithe because I'm not seeking His kingdom. I'm going to seek mine. I can't be generous because I'm not seeking Him. I'm seeking me. What are you pursuing? The next thing would be stop trusting your heart. Stop trusting your heart to lead you in this life. Your heart is not meant to lead you. Your heart, apart from God, is desperately wicked above all things. Trust His word. Trust His word, which will keep your heart headed in the right direction. This is why we need a relationship with God. This is why we need to walk with Him. This is why we need to seek direction from Him. We're literally commanded to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. But it baffles me how many people continue to depend and trust on their own selves for guidance and direction. We have guidance and direction. And half the times we're not. I'm going to just keep going. Stop trusting your heart. Number next. Realize there is hope. Realize there is hope. You know, for the person in here, if you're depressed and in a place of despair because of your poor choices in life, realize there is hope for you. God can make that crooked thing straight. God can redeem the times because the days are evil. If you just turn to the Lord, I love, there's a friend of mine that came to the Lord, and he tells a story how he had no relationship at all with his son because of poor choices that he had made in his life. And he came to the Lord, and he got saved, and he began to seek the Lord and trust that God would make him into a different man than what he used to be. And in 3 short years, God brought that man's children, back into his life again. Having a relationship with his children because of God redeeming the time. See, we're good at screwing things up. God's really good at straightening things out. But you have to bring yourself to that place where you're willing to humble yourself before the Lord, because the Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but my wife, she's going to come up and she's going to play the piano, and they're going to take a time of reflection. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, these are some of Solomon's last writings in his old age, inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned in God's perfect word. Are we going to listen to his last words to us and learn from them, or are we going to have to figure it out the hard way? I pray and hope that we'll evaluate where we're at in our life right now. Please ask the Lord, Lord, show me, what am I pursuing? Am I pursuing my career over you? Am I pursuing my bank account over you? Am I pursuing my relationship over you? Am I listening to my heart? Am I following my heart? But I won't sit down and read your word. Are you sitting here today depressed and in despair because of where your choices have gotten you? There is hope, but you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to come to the place where you say, God, you were right. You're going to have to pray, and you're going to say, Lord, you were right and I was wrong. Lord, and I humble myself before you, and I pray, and I seek your face, that you would make the crooked things in my life upright, that you would redeem the time that I have wasted in this world. And Father, Lord, give me another opportunity. And I love the fact that the word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. And you know, over and over and over again, the word of the Lord comes to us and says, hey, I love you, but your way's not the right way. God puts this in the word for us so that we would learn. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke to you today, but pray it in. Ask God to show you. And then ask God to give you the strength to obey him and to follow after him. This is what the writer of Ecclesiastes is trying to tell me and you today. Don't follow yourself, follow your Savior. Follow Jesus. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord, and just, I'm grateful for Solomon, and I'm grateful for his experience, Lord. You know, many times in my life, I've had to learn by experience and not by wisdom, and I could have saved myself a whole lot of pain in this life had I just looked at your word, had I listened to it, had I humbled myself, Lord God, before you and acknowledged that your way was right and my way was wrong. Lord God, but as we have the word before us today, I pray that we would acknowledge it, that we would learn from it, and that we would learn from the wisdom that you have penned, that you've given to us, and that we that way we would not have to learn in the painful process of experience in this world, of another failed marriage or another lost job or another relationship gone bad or another paycheck gambled away, whatever it is, Father, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would help us to be dependent upon you and upon your word and upon your spirit and not ourselves for guidance in this life. Lord, knowing that you will direct our paths if we lean not to our own understanding, but we lean to you. Father, I pray that you would do a great work, Lord, that you would pin your word, nail it to our hearts, that we, you know, your word would not return void. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.